Hey there, SLP. You are listening to this podcast, so I know that you love to listen to podcasts. And if that is the case, then I know that you are going to love my secret private podcast, Secondary Secrets for SLPs. Its 6 short episodes will have you walking away feeling refreshed and inspired and ready to take on those challenging secondary speech students. So if you work with grades 4 through 12, and are in a planning rut or wanting some fresh new ideas to keep your students motivated, make sure you head to speechtimefun.com/secondary-secrets. You are not going to find this podcast in your iTunes podcast search browser. You can only get access by going to that link. So head to it now. It is 6 short episodes that you can listen to it in under an hour, like totally Netflix binge-worthy. I made this just for you, and I know you are going to love it. SLPs have been telling me already that it has changed their way for working with their older speech students. So head on over, again, to speechtimefun.com/secondary-secrets or use the link in the show notes, and I can't wait to hear what you think. Now let's head on to this week's episode of SLP Coffee Talk. Welcome to SLP Coffee Talk, the podcast designed exclusively for speech-language pathologists who work with older students, grades 4 through 12. I am your host, Hallie Sherman, your SLP behind Speech Time Fun, the Speech Retreat Conference, and the SLP Elevate membership. And I'm thrilled to bring you conversations, strategies, and insights that will give you the jolt of inspiration that you need. Whether you're tuning in during your morning commute, on a break in between sessions, or even during a well-deserved relaxation time, I am here for you each and every week. Let's do this, SLPs. Happy New Year, SLPs. It is 2024. Cannot believe it. This week's episode, I want to do something a little different since many of you are either listening to this on your way to work in the brand new year. So the second or the third, not on actual New Year's Day, which when this is being released, or you might be listening to it further out and batching some episodes that you might have missed, or maybe just have more time to listen right now because you might be off. So I figured I would release this episode as my first episode of the new year. It is a recording from my November 4th, 2023 speech retreat conference. I had the honor of having one of my amazing SLP Elevate members, Jill Silverman, come on live. And she was joining me from the waiting room of the ICU in the hospital, but she did not want to miss another amazing speech retreat. And she wanted to be able to share her experiences working with her high school students and being able to utilize SLP Elevate with her students and just the amazingness of getting to build rapport and making a difference for her students. And you can just listen to her love of what she does. I know you're going to just fall in love with her as well. She really truly has a great heart. I was so honored to have her come on live at the speech retreat to talk to hundreds of SLPs live and even more hundreds that tuned in to the replay. But if you're wanting to know more about just working with older students, definitely keep on listening. If you want to learn more about utilizing SLP Elevate with your high school students, keep on listening. Or if you want to just know what you missed at the November speech retreat and why you should be joining us in March for the speech retreat, because you might just get surprises like this there as well. But I know you're going to enjoy this episode. If there's someone that you know that can benefit from listening to this episode who might need that push and reminder of love what you do and the impact you're making on your students each and every day, take a listen. I know you are going to enjoy it. I can't wait to hear feedback from you guys on this episode. Again, hope you had a restful holiday break, whether you're listening to this while you're still off or when you're returning back to work. Remember, your students are going to be so excited to see you. So you might be tired, you might be exhausted. Remember, keep that smile on your face, gulp that sip of coffee if you need. But anyway, on to this episode so you can take a listen to me and Jill's conversation at the November 4th, 2023 Speech Retreat Conference. So, several speech retreats ago, I had some SLP Elevate members on, and you guys loved hearing from them, and you guys loved hearing about it. So I'm so excited to have Jill here joining us, talking all about working with older speech students. So Jill, welcome. You are a rock star. Tell a little bit about your SLP journey and age you work with and things like that. Tell everyone a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so I've been a speech therapist for 23 years. Been in all settings. At this point, I am 8 years in elementary and began my first year in high school, thanks to you and your encouragement. And it's going very well. Extremely different from elementary, obviously, but I just adore helping the kids and the relationships. Like you say, they're so used to being criticized and so used to being made to feel like an annoyance and feeling less than. Having them really feel that we appreciate them and that we're there for them and that we are their safe space makes them receiving correction from us easier and not so hurtful. And they learn to appreciate it and accept it and almost seek it out. In high school, I have students coming on non-therapy days just to like come eat lunch with me or come grab a bottle of water or a piece of candy or whatever.
I've had students I would like, all of a sudden they walk in the door. I'm like, is it your speech time? Right. I'm like, I have to check my calendar. I'm like, wait, is it the wrong day? Like, what's going on? And that's so true. The building of the rapport is so essential. Can you share a little bit how going into the high school setting for the first time, like, what did you do to build rapport with them?
My daughter is actually a ninth grader in this school where I am. So most of my speech students are not friends with her, but a few are. And them, first of all, I was a student where I work back in the day. All three of my children went to this school. And so it's my community school. It means a lot to me. I'm very vested in the success of the school and the students there. And it's nice to see what happens towards the end of the IEP, the transitional piece. Some of the kids came from private schools that are finishing their pre-graduation years in public setting. Some of them have been in public school all along and are moving either from IEP to 504 or from direct service to consult. And a few, you know, are still remaining active IEP, but being able to do more with them, that even though there is a listening comprehension deficit or an oral expression deficit, you can do a lot more fun things with students who you don't have to tiptoe necessarily around certain news articles. They have a lot more capability. For example, as you see, I'm sitting in a hospital waiting room. My husband has a new cancer diagnosis and we're going through a lot right now. And faculty members that I work with will walk directly by you. And the students, you'll have 14-year-old students, 15-year-old students come in the speech room and take one look at your face and go, oh my God, Ms. Silverman, what happened? What's wrong? And so it's like, you know what? We're going to abort this lesson and we're going to talk about what's going on.
Mm-hmm. And that's life. It's such a life skill that they need more than like that article that you had planned.
Right. Another example is my dog had an ACL repair over the summer and she goes swimming as part of her physical therapy. So I take videos of her swimming and I've taken a photo journal of her week to week and the kids come in, they go, how's your dog? Oh my God, look at her. She swam so fast. She got the toy. She did this. I use my life and I use their lives. A lot of them, I work in Title I. One school is a Title I school, the other is not. The Title I school, there's a lot of trauma and a lot of domestic things going on. And the kids really want to safely talk about what their worries are, you know, especially everything going on in the world. Their parents have the news on. They feel fear. They feel worry. They feel concerned. the public schools have not only the fire drills now, but we, of course, have Alice drills and everything else. And they worry, if something happens, what's going to happen to me? And so we can build whole entire lessons reassuring them about strategies, about world events without getting political. And it's really necessary, I feel like, because that is teaching. Teaching is not just passing the test. Teaching is working on vocabulary that directly impacts our everyday. And that's how you become the therapist or the teacher that makes a difference that they will remember forever. And I have students that I've taken off IEP that I give my personal email to, and I'll say, if you ever need a reference, I will be the one to help you get that job.
So amazing. Building that rapport, getting their buy-in, them seeing like, hey, we can just talk about things that they're motivated by or things that are surrounding them. It doesn't always have to be IEP goals.
Completely. I mean, there's tremendous pressure on the data collection. I get that because I have it too. But you can take data from this as well.
Can you give an example?
Like the dog's ACL. They asked me a question. The teacher said they can't ask questions. Well, they just asked me a question. They just used a 7-word utterance. This is what the utterance was. So you're wrong. You're just not good enough.
You just didn't listen. They just weren't motivated by your lesson.
Right, exactly.
You didn't bring in dog videos. Like, what's wrong with you?
Or giving them the graphic organizer. I distributed that graphic organizer to all my special educators. I said, put it in a sheet protector, use a dry erase marker, use your Shrek example or whatever television show game character that they're into, and show them how they already know how to do this. They just didn't know they knew.
So, so true. Sometimes you have to slow down to speed up. Can you share what was your biggest surprise when you started working with the high schoolers?
Some of them are over it. Hmm. So some of them, the families, and I'm sure you all can relate to this, you have, and I consider myself somewhat of a helicopter mother, but I give my children space. But some parents are, they just don't know how to let their child self-advocate. And they're emailing and calling, getting all upset when there isn't even a problem. Or the student who may have a fluency issue or who may have a language issue, but they've accepted it and they know their strategies and they're over direct pullout. And the parent is fussing and fussing and fussing, where the student will come to you. One funny thing I found, the student will come to you and they'll be like, don't pull me from guitar or from art. Pull me from algebra. And I'm like, no. You need math and ELA, and you don't get to tell me when I pull you. So I found that kind of funny that they're like, you can pull me from this teacher I don't like, but I'm the best in this class.
But let's work on some speech goals while you're trying to persuade me. From algebra, instead. And maybe I'll consider. You can always tell which, like, special they like when they try to, like, give you, like, oh, sorry, guys. I'm playing you from when I can. Like, let's be real here. I love that. What is your favorite activity to do with, like, your older ones?
I'm not so much into writing tasks. I use it sometimes, but I let the special educators do the writing tasks. But I love the Ed Puzzle. I love Bamboozle. I love Jeopardy Labs. I love Wonderopolis and Times Kids. I have been to every retreat except for, I think, the first two. And without you during COVID-19, I would have been, like, lost. And that's really when I found you. And my students absolutely blossomed during that time. So many people were like, how am I going to do this? And I hate this. And the students need a bed story. Every single one of them came to every lesson and loved it. And again, they would try and get in on non-therapy dates because it was fun and it was safe and it was exciting and it was all positive. And I hadn't joined Elevate at that point. And I don't know why I feel like that initial fee was so much, even though I'll go buy sweaters and boots and whatever, but I finally decided I'm going to do it because it's about boundaries and it's about professional life versus personal life. And I need my sanity and I have a lot going on. And it's just wonderful. I mean, everything is there. We all say over and over, I want a goal bank. You have a goal bank. You have activities. You have lesson plans. I just had my observation, like I said in the chat. And I used somebody wanted, but so then I used some of your lessons. And it really knocks the administrator's socks off. Like, they love it. They're so impressed by it. They're so impressed by the engagement and the participation and the manner in which you help us to teach them. It's amazing. You're one of my very favorite professional colleagues, and we don't even know each other. Like, I literally have never personally met you yet. And you have absolutely changed my professional life. It is worth every penny, you guys, that SLP Elevate will save you precious time. And I don't use everything. I'm not going to say I use every single thing every single month and that every single thing is for my students, because it's not. But you can ask questions. There is a like private little support group. The lessons are all very current and engaging. They are over the paper and pen tasks, a lot of the old school methods. They are over the hypercriticalness, and they can handle it if it's a game where they give a response that's not quite on par and they lose 5 points, and then the other peer loses 5 points, and then they get it back, and then everybody drops to zero or whatever. They love that. And it's much more friendly way to accept your error than hearing no and seeing the red pen go, like the teacher. Or the teachers, a lot of them just really have not sought out how to work with the special education population, unfortunately. And until school districts mandate that their PD is in special ed or is in autism spectrum, they'll say right in front of the student, you can take them whenever. Oh, you're here. Good. Take them. And it's like, they hear you. What is wrong with you? You just said that out loud. Like, some of these people should not even be teaching. So that's why I feel like the students really, they love, before I met Haley and before I found out about SLP Elevate, I would go to PDs and I would hear someone recommend a toy, and I was spending hundreds of dollars on new toys, and whatever somebody recommended, I would hop right on Amazon or whatever site and I would buy it all up. I don't even have enough storage space to keep buying tangible toys and items. I have no more shelves. I have no more closets. But these things are digital. These things are accessible. And our kids, like it or not, are going to use the cell phone. Even in high school, for example, they like try and block the Wi-Fi. The students taught me the secret VPN, how they get on the Wi-Fi. They do it anyway. So I said to the administrator, first of all, I personally think it's a safety issue to block anybody from Wi-Fi, because it does save lives in the event, God forbid, something happens. But cell phones are here to stay. Technology is here to stay. We need to incorporate it in how we're teaching instead of restricting it and pretending like we can teach like it's 1970. I mean, it's the only way, because it's the only way to keep them engaged is to say, you come to speech, I'm not taking your phone. Actually, take it out, because our lesson today, you're going to use your cell phone. And then there's buy-in.
And then you're not fighting them the entire time for the cell phone.
Exactly.
The entire time. Might as well, if you can't beat them. And them showing you how to log into the Wi-Fi. That is a language task in itself. They can give instructions. They can, you know, persuade. Seriously, I love it. How do you incorporate the cell phones?
I will say, if you are going to order food, which they all do or they all want to do, first of all, it may be a fluency student who doesn't want to speak it, or it may be a student who has delayed expression. So you're going to study the menu. You're going to choose what you want. You're going to add it to the cart. You're going to figure out how much you have in your debit account. You're going to do the math and make sure you're not going to bounce your account or your parents' account, and you're going to pay it. You have to calculate the tip, however much you're going to tip the person. You have to enter the delivery address if you want in contact delivery or if you want them to just leave it by the door. I mean, there's all these very functional tasks that are life skills, really. And that's really, I mean, you can do that as young as 10 years old, is because really, especially in my Title I, a lot of them are partially responsible for doing tasks like that. I mean, I have 16-year-olds that work at the movie theater, and that money is not spending money. That money goes into the family pot. And they are responsible for younger siblings, and they are responsible for buying meals and doing these things. So what we should be doing is helping them do it successfully.
Something so simple. I remember, this is so many years ago when I was in a high school, before like texting and website ordering, they would leave my speech room to go to the bathroom to order the food.
Right.
They just did it in my speech room. We could have worked on language while they were going to do it anyway.
Right.
And like, I thought of this back then, like how many things I could have worked on if we just, like, let's all just order lunch together.
Right.
Do it.
Or another thing is the winter holidays are coming and most of us order a lot of things online. So if a certain item is out of stock or if it gets delivered to you in the wrong size or the wrong color or the wrong whatever, if it doesn't fit, do they know how to do the online chat and say specifically what the problem is calmly and get their problem resolved the way they need it to? If there's a shipping problem, if, you know, all of these things, very functional life skills, but it's meaningful to them because it's a life skill. It's just what they need to do. Some of the kids are super tall or are larger and they need certain sizes. Do you know how to go up to the store clerk and say, can you please check in the back for size whatever in this item because I don't see it on the shelf?
Clearly see why your students love coming to you and why stopping by even when it's not even their speech time. You are amazing. You're an amazing SLP. You're an amazing wife, and that you are doing this even from the house. Thank you. Thank you, Jill.
Thank you for everything always. And I will meet you one of these days.
One of these days. I have family by here one of these days.
Perfect.
Thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of SLP Coffee Talk. It means the world to me that you're tuning in each and every week and getting the jolt of inspiration you need. You can find all of the links and information mentioned in this episode at my website, speechtimefun.com. Don't forget to follow the show so you don't miss any future episodes. And while you're there, it would mean the world to me if you would take a few seconds and leave me an honest review. See you next week with another episode full of fun and inspiration from one SLP to another. Have fun, guys.